Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Hey. Yeah. Doesn't matter where you go or what you do. I want to spend each day and every night with you. Look, what just started with just one kiss. I never knew that I could be in love like this. It happens to be true. I don't know. I never really think about that song in advance like I should. Brian Beebe here once again. Is it Friday? No, it's Wednesday at 5.
Not quite.
And the podcast is happening whether we're ready or not. Ready or not, podcast. And I'm going to talk about that some too. You should be doing a podcast on Medicine Talk too. Anybody out there can do this. And if you make notes, you can talk for an hour. I thought I needed notes. I use less and less notes all the time.
Notes.
Each week. Yeah, notes, yeah. I have a couple ideas about what I want to talk about each week. But you can talk about anything you want. Your religion. You want to talk about books you've read, movies you've seen. You complain about people at work. They probably won't, if they don't like you as much as you don't like them, they're not going to tune in and listen to you run them down anyway. So you might as well, you know, take a minute, talk about whatever you feel like. And if you come up with an idea or if you want to advertise your business or anything, 608-210-1667 and ask some questions. And once again, we're brought to you this week by Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin and Sorrento's Italian restaurant at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells. And we got a little bit to talk about. We did our Robin Zander concerts again last week, and it was highly successful. So I'm going to leave you, if you went to the concerts and would like to comment. If you didn't go to the concert, whether you liked it or not, let's hear from you. 608-210-1667. It was interesting this year, and people that have gone year after year after year told us that this was the best one yet, and it was definitely different from ones past. Anyway, I'm thinking about Medicine Talks, and I are talking about making the scope of this show a little bigger and reaching out to more viewers or listeners in hopes of getting more advertising dollars to come in. I'd like to hear from you. We're talking about maybe the show. They're not talking about this. I'm thinking about the show maybe needs to be a little more focused, because this is always very loose the way I do it now. But if it needs to be more focused on, let's say we'll take a portion of the Beatles' career instead of jumping all over the place and calling it a show about the Beatles, you know what I mean? Maybe we'll take 1 week and do Beatlemania and the effect it had on America, or the first two albums or something like that. And then maybe we'll talk another time about the breakup and near the end of the Beatles and what happened and the differences between what was going on in the country then and what was going on earlier in the evolution of the Beatles. So I'd like to hear from you, 608-210-1667. Do we keep it light and funny? I know that if I got more active on Twitter and mentioned that my show was going to be about Lennon McCartney and their songwriting 1 week and put it on hashtag John L. and Paul M., you know, something like that. People all over the world, if they were interested in that sort of thing, could go on and watch my show and listen in, call in. They could do anything. And it's kind of like that now because I know my show goes to lots of different places all over the country, and has been. A friend of mine was on a ship in the Mediterranean for a month or something, and commented each week. So I mean, it's being heard all over the place, and I like that. But we still, in order to make more money with it, or really get to the next level, we're going to need to get a lot more views, or a lot more clicks, or whatever they call it, each week. And I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure if anybody wants to, you know, see the show just get so mundane and so the same every week that it just burns out. Because I know a lot of people like the show and like to tune in for even just little parts of it. And a large part of it is Mike Brockenfeld. He's a funny guy, and he helps out.
A fun guy.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. What do they call a mushroom with a 9-inch stem? A really fun guy.
Oh, really?
A fun guy. Yeah, that's. I don't want you to think about that too long. All right, and so now. I've had a couple of people tell me over the time that the year plus that I've been doing this that I should get more issue-oriented. And blogs and podcasts that do really well generally have, you know, the right side and the left side going at it about issues. And although I have not gone to the issue-oriented material much over the year and a half, the year and some months that I've been doing this. I understand that. And I do have feelings about issues, as I've kind of played with over this period of time.
You feel ways about things?
Yeah. About dead birds and windmills and, you know, kind of that kind of stuff. And we have been kind of skirted around the issue oriented stuff, and I like that too. So what do you think? Should it be all music each week, or should it be a combination of things, or what? What subjects would you like to see talked about on this show? Suggest some things. We may or may not use it. In fact, you may or not be right about whether it's even a good idea. I'm going to say maybe some of you will be coming up with good ideas and some of you won't. But that doesn't mean we're not going to consider it. So anyway, that's 608-210-1667. And you know what? If we do that, if we do that and do make the jump to light speed with the podcast, I promise that I will get the studio cleaned up. I will promise I will get the better visuals behind me. You know, we'll change it up. Maybe we'll get
pyrotechnics.
Yeah. Maybe we should get, instead of having my banner there, we should get a big cork board, you know, change the picture up there. You know, have a picture or a word, the word of the day or something up there. And then when I come, I could still put my banner up there if I wanted to. You know, we're gonna have to do something a little bit level up here. So, but in the meantime, geez, I can't help myself. I got to comment on this kind of a realization that I came up with, and it wasn't too hard to come up with this realization either, but it seems to me now the divisiveness in this country politically has led us to a place where whatever president we get, the other side is going to be completely obstructionist until or come up with ways to discredit him or her. And talks of impeachment will start the minute they're elected. Do you know what I mean? And it'll just go that way. until we fix this inability to talk to each other. But I could just see that happening. It started with Bush, the war. His problem was particularly the Iraq war and its reaction to 9/11. And then instantly it was Obama, and the Republicans came straight out and said, we're going to make the priority of this party to make sure that Obama's a one-term president. So they're just going to resist everything he says. And then Trump gets elected, and now it's the Democrats doing the same thing, wanting him to self-destruct or causing him to self-destruct. And I just think that whoever gets in next is going to have all of that again. Don't you?
Every time.
Yeah, yep. It'll be a Democrat because of the stress that Trump and the Republicans seem to have brought upon us. It'll probably be a Democrat. And then it'll be right back where we started with the Republicans resisting everything. Or maybe Trump and his hardcore base will eventually take some of that land out west that they feel that is not heard of, and like in the Electoral College and stuff, and make a different country out there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Texas.
California could be a country by itself on the other side of it. But then, the Dakotas and Nebraska and Kansas and all that stuff could be Trump land. Do you know? And it might just happen. I don't know. We could have a civil war or some secession. Lots of states want to secede. You know? Did you see this one, Mike, where he wanted to open up fishing or drilling rights all on an entire coast of the U.S., right?
Hmm.
Every state that's coastal was going to open up their drilling to whoever wanted.
Oh.
And then he exempted Florida because Rick Scott, the governor down there, called up and said, would you mind, we don't want to do that. And so he exempted them. I mean, just almost as simply as that. Because So anybody who doesn't want to do some of this stuff, states' rights, or I guess anyway. I'm going to talk about the Robbins Show here that we did this weekend and some of that stuff that goes up. And I want to talk a little bit about, if you call in, 608-210-1667, I'd like to talk a little bit about legalizing marijuana just on the other side of the break. And I'll sing whatever songs you come up with, song requests are open, even though I don't have my keyboard here today. So, and here, I'm going to offer you a threat, too. If you don't call in with a question or a comment, I noticed that I have a year and something worth of show notes from past shows. And if you don't call in, I'm going to go back and we're going to revisit some of the really stupid stuff we've talked about in the past.
Dead birds.
Yeah, dead birds and windmills and Frozen, Disney. And anyway, Brian Beebe Show, brought to you by Monks and Sorrentos. We'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I like the cool jazz, man. When I lived down in Florida, there was a lot of Latin jazz, but you could go out most nights back in the 80s and find a jazz club with music, most nights of the week. And you said there was one in Madison, but I sure wish there was more.
Yep, the Alchemy.
Yeah, you said the Alchemy was good for jazz. And
also, the Mason Lounge, they have a group comes in every Tuesday, I think. It's Tuesday or Thursday.
Is it called the Mason Lounge?
No, the Mason Lounge is the name of the place.
Yeah.
And then the band is the Five Points Jazz Collective.
Is that Mason? Where's the Mason Lounge?
I'm not good with all this. Streets.
Yeah. It's in town of Madison, University of
Providence. Downtown Madison.
Yeah. Do young people like jazz?
I think some do.
Like cool jazz like that, or freeform
musicians.
Charlie Parker jam jazz, or what?
Jazz is a musician's art.
Yeah, my opinion has always been that jazz musicians started out in popular music, rock and roll, and the genre just was too small for them. I mean, they weren't happy with the chord changes and
challenging
the chord types that we use in rock and roll and popular music. And their solos got less and less understandable to the average idiot listening to rock and roll, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, they were just all over, outside the box plenty. And so they started listening to jazz. Maybe they always listen to jazz, but that's where the good rock and roll players go if they're serious about their musicianship. There's a lot of guys who can play real good in rock and roll music and shred and play really fast and stuff like this, but they really don't understand the depth of what they might be playing with those same skills, you know. And anyway, or maybe they don't like jazz, because there's a lot of things in jazz that average people who really like music don't like. Like the fact that the vocals.
Where's the beat?
Where's the singing? You know, that doesn't always, unless you have a jazz group with a singer, you could listen to a whole night of music with no vocals at all.
For sure. Yeah.
And where's the beat? And unless they do jazz versions of popular songs that you know, you don't even recognize what they're playing. I mean, and even when they do play jazz standards, for example, a lot happens. They start out the song, and you can kind of hear the melody that you're familiar with.
Yep.
Then it goes away, comes back.
That's the point.
At the end, it comes back to that, to that original theme that you recognize, but maybe not soon enough for you. I like all of it. So, but that's that's neither here nor there. When people say, "Brian, do you play any jazz?" I come right up front and say, "No, I don't play well enough to play jazz." But in the old days, in the 40s and 50s. Tony Bennett and Sinatra were considered jazz, or Rosemary Clooney, or some of these guys, Nat King Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were jazz-based guys, even though their music was remembered as popular music. But anyway, I'm gonna talk about the Robin shows a little bit. Hope that you were there. Hope you enjoyed yourself. And if you weren't there, we're gonna make you a little irritated that you weren't, and maybe a little sick for not being there. But in the meantime, I heard a guy on the radio coming down here that was talking about resisting the legalization of marijuana in Wisconsin. And I just don't know. Help me out. What is the reason that anybody would resist that at this point. Colorado has made it into a $2 billion industry, and all their elected officials are saying, don't take our pot away, man. This is what we needed all along, and we have it now. So the original model for a state legalizing marijuana seems to be an attractive model. I don't care if you want to smoke it, don't want to smoke it, if you do or you don't. It would take a lot of pressure off our prisons. You know, it costs $40,000-$50,000 a year to keep a guy in prison for a year. Mm. If you give a guy a 3-year sentence for, selling pot or having a pound or two in his possession or whatever, or growing it,
right,
that's $150,000 that the taxpayer has to pay out just to keep him in prison. And it's a crime. It's a victimless crime. You can say that it's a stair-step drug or that leads you to more drugs. But I think that research has shown that that doesn't happen either. I don't smoke it, but I did as a kid, you know. And I've said this before. If they legalized it and graded it, and you could go to Quick Trip and buy number 5 strength, number 4, number 3, number 2, number 1, I'd buy it and smoke it. Or I would use the oil or whatever. Maybe I wouldn't smoke because it's tough on your lungs and your throat when you get those coughing things happen. But I would buy it. I would use it. I liked it when I was a kid, as long as I knew about how high I was going to get. And you never did with pot. You could smoke a toke, just one toke of something, and then smoke a whole joint of something else. And not feel a thing. So, with a beer or a drink, you know how you're going to feel afterwards. Hmm. You don't know how you're going to feel afterwards if the pot you just bought has a rat poison in it or, something.
I don't think that happens very often. Yeah.
No, but, it probably does in powdered drugs like Coke and meth. Yep. But I don't know what they used to lace. I think they used to actually soak pot in something, like a liquid solution that might have a mescaline or LSD in or something. Maybe it was always the really purest, best pot would give you these trippy, this kind of reaction to it. But I didn't like any of that at all. I liked to be in control. But it was a fun feeling when it was fun. If it didn't scare you.
When it wasn't too much.
When it wasn't too much.
It gives some people anxiety.
Yeah.
It doesn't do the same thing for everybody.
Right. And I knew I knew a lot of kids when I was young that could take a ton more of just about any drug you'd name and function just fine and not even feel it, you know. And here's me. And taking the tiniest little bit of something and just completely incapacitated, you know. Now, how in the world could this guy think about taking all that and going out someplace and functioning, you know? Not me. I couldn't even. We did some funky things when we were a little bit high, but it was a very, very. I needed to feel like I was in control to enjoy myself, and that wasn't always. So, anyway, that's gone. That's neither here nor there. We talked about divisiveness. Nobody's calling, so there just might be a review of some of these past shows and the stupid things we talked about then. The old jokes you've already heard and that stuff. But anyway, last weekend, I had a couple of people tell me they wanted me to talk about this, whether they went or they didn't. Monks at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells has had, for the last 4 years, has had Robin Zander in a solo situation. Robin Zander is the lead singer of Cheap Trick. And he came up one show that first weekend, first year we did it, and then it was two shows every year since then. So a Friday and Saturday. It's always seems to be in January. We did have a September one, but January, I don't know for what reason, it's not pleasant for all the people who come from other states and stuff and traveling. We lost some people this year that had paid for their tickets and everything, and all of a sudden that bomb cyclone that happened out east in the East Coast and caused that terrible weather to hit the East Coast and cancel the flights. We lost 8 or 10 people that were going to come because of the storm. But then my friend Dan Collar at Monk's always has a waiting list of people who couldn't get tickets and wanted to go. So it still was a sold-out thing, but we were sad that some of those really hardcore fans that were making a trip from Massachusetts and Pennsylvania and up that neighborhood there could not get to the show. So, all right, who's... Uh-oh. All right. Yeah, never mind. I'll have to talk to you later. Yeah, that was a friend of mine, a girl that I used to date, that is getting married this weekend. And I just had to mention to her that she is one of a whole bunch of women that married the next guy after they dated me. So what does that tell you? I said, boy, I better get somebody decent before I run into another Brian. Is that kind of what it is? Or do they learn so much about romance?
In life.
Yeah, in life.
That sounds more right.
I don't know what it is, but I've had more than one, more than two, at least three, maybe more, girls who dated me and then married that very next guy. So I don't know. Anyway, that's all. That's for another show. Anyway, so anyway, we had some cancellations, and still had a full crowd, sold-out show both nights, and but there were people from all over the country that came to these shows, and enjoyed the up close and personalness of that of the whole thing, because this room seats about 180. We might have had 200. Don't tell the fire marshal. The chief of police was there, though, so he could tell if we were over or not. Anyway, they come from all over the place and enjoy a very, very intimate show that you know, no bad seats. Nobody's farther away than... than they were. Nobody was farther away than they actually were. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So, but they could see, they could hear. This theater has built-in sound and sound and lights, so bands can come and they don't have to bring all their stuff. And then Monk's is in control of how loud it is and who hears, and they all hear well, and the sound and lights kind of get taken care of by a very talented guy by the name of Matt Lindemeyer. And we had one complaint this year. I shouldn't tell you what it is, because that person that complained will feel singled out. But the complaint was, Mike, you know, the stage is like a horseshoe coming out of the wall, right? And so the seats are all the way around it. Well, Robin uses the teleprompter on some songs, and somebody complained because they could see Robin's teleprompter screen.
What?
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, they're sitting 10 feet or 5 feet away from their,
yeah,
their idol or their guy that they just enjoy, and they don't want to complain about seeing the screen. Anyway, somebody on the phone?
Yeah, Karen calls in.
Oh, who's... Karen? Is this Karen?
Hello there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I couldn't resist calling in because Alyssa is just cracking me up. So you should very much encourage her to call in when I hang up the phone.
Who's Alyssa? Oh, Alyssa Pagan? Oh, okay, sure. Well, you know, she knows that I'm doing this show, and she's never called in once. So
yeah, well, she should call in today because she's just loving the conversation about Robin Zander.
Okay, well, what about you? Did you go to the show?
Well, of course, you know I went to the show.
Oh,
I met lots of your friends.
Yeah.
And I would like to request a couple of songs.
Okay, well, I don't have my keyboard sitting here, but I would sing for you if I can.
Well, you're not going to be singing for me. You're going to be singing for your friend Jeanette because we found out that she is planning on getting married this week.
Yes, we did.
So I think you should sing some lovely wedding songs.
A lovely wedding song for Jeanette.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I might just do that. But what are you? Are you still? What are you doing? I haven't heard from you for days and days and days. I haven't heard from you.
Right.
I haven't.
Well, I've been pretty busy watching all the videos on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I know that they...
There's some really great ones out there. So if anyone is listening, go to Facebook and check them out.
Yeah.
It was an awesome show.
You didn't have to be at the show to see how they went because there's 40 videos at least. From the two
right,
nights.
You don't have to be at the show to see how they went, but you have to be at the show to experience how they went.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah. Those two girls that were at your table on Saturday night, said they both sent me friend requests.
Well, sweet.
Yeah. I told them no way. I told them no way.
Yeah, right.
I'm not about to be Facebook friends with you two. No, I was...
They were lovely women.
Yes, they were. Very, very, very nice. And,
And I have to give a shout-out to Maureen. Her boots on Saturday night rocked. If anybody saw her boots, they rocked.
Were they sparkly?
Oh, yes. Black and sparkly. Love
black,
them.
Black boots, sparkly, and did you make her an offer? Did you...
No. I should have asked her what size they were.
I'm constantly, if I see a shirt on a guy that I like, I offer to buy it. You know, ask him what size it is.
I heard you do that at Sorrento.
Yeah, if it's my size, I'll just tell him, when that becomes for sale, let me know. I'll buy it from you. You know, because why would you want to go to a store and look through rack after rack after rack of stuff? If you see something that somebody else is wearing and you like it, make him an offer.
It's already warm.
Yeah. Well, I probably wouldn't wear it till I washed it. I wouldn't wear it warm, Mike, you know. This used clothing business.
I do that at garage sales with people's flowers.
You
if they have some flowers in their yard that I don't have in my yard, I'll offer to buy some and dig it up.
Yeah.
I've done that several times.
Yeah. And when you buy the silk flowers, do you wash them off before you take them home?
No.
We were talking about laundering their clothes, and then you said, well, I do that with flowers. I know.
Yeah,
well, you don't wash their flowers, do you?
No, I'm talking flowers out of the garden, real flowers.
I know. I'm kidding you.
Oh, okay. Quit messing with me. Quit it.
No, so, you tear off a leaf or a blossom off of one that you can re-root and... or dig up a bulb or something. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, no, I dig up the plant.
And just take the whole plant?
Yeah.
Half of it or what?
Whatever they want to sell to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done that like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump over to another topic because I know that I need to get off the phone.
Okay.
You should really hook up that computer screen right there so you can see everyone's comments as you're talking.
Yeah.
You would enjoy your podcast a lot more because, again, Alyssa is just cracking me up.
Well, I don't know if I would enjoy it more because if I was looking at that, I might not do as good a show if I'm going like this. What did they say? What did they say? No, the show suffers.
Well,
you have
commercials that you can look at them during the commercial.
And so-and-so says blah, blah, blah. You know, You know what I mean? I'll have to experiment with that. You might be right. But mm-hmm. I'd have to experiment. I have to practice. Because I wouldn't want the show that you're seeing, I wouldn't want that to suffer because I was looking over here. You follow?
Well, she's actually requesting a song, too, and I wrote it down. She's, so let me tell you what song she's requesting.
She's requesting that you request a song? That doesn't seem quite right.
No, she's requesting a song, and I read it. She said something about Cripple Creek Ferry.
Cripple Creek Ferry?
Yeah. Up on Cripple Creek?
Yeah, that's a song, but I don't know what Cripple Creek Ferry is. Up on Cripple Creek is a song.
Meant. Maybe that's
is that the same song, Mike? Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring a leak, she mends me. But Cripple Creek Ferry, I don't know. And that might have been a Neil Younger or something. I know she's a big-time Neil Young fan.
Yes.
I will check it out.
Yes. All right.
Well, I'm glad. Are you sleeping now? Or what? You were up all night, weren't you?
Yeah, I was up all night, but... I have some business calls that I have to get online in another hour, so I'll be up for a while.
Yeah, sleep sometime tonight, will you?
Oh, I will. I promise.
Okay.
I have to watch your show first. Can't miss it.
Oh, you're sweet.
But anyway, somebody else, please call in, especially Alyssa.
Yeah. Well, get her.
And Jeanette, you too.
Get her a
message.
But
anyway, please don't forget to sing a song for Jeanette.
All right. That sounds good.
All right, bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that's interesting. Okay. So, this friend of mine that I dated a little bit last year is marrying another guy. What's that noise? I don't hear a noise, actually. And your phones? Oh, a light. It's a light for sure. But nobody was noticing it till you mentioned it. No, so they're gonna be all over that noise now. I tell you what, Mike, come on out here for just a second. Mike Brockenfeld in the control room. Turn the lights off. Turn them back on. Turn them off again. We both look better with them off. Yeah. Yeah, you better hit it back. Yeah, there you go. Marrying the next guy she dated, I'm making fun of it, but I'm really, really happy that she is marrying this guy. He's a great guy, and she deserves to be happy, and she wasn't all that happy with me. How can you blame her, you know? Pretty hard to, I'm a hard guy to get along with, really. So anyway, she's marrying this other guy this weekend. And Karen requested that I sing, what kind of wedding songs do we, I used to do a lot of weddings when I was younger and played guitar and it was easy. And our friends used to ask us to play for weddings. And we used to use this one every time, the bride would appear at the back of the church with her dad, just about to make the walk through the church towards the her future husband up to the nave or the what do they call that? The narthex? No, that's the altar and that stuff up there. We'd sing, "You fill up my senses like a night in the forest. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again." See, it's a very natural kind of a song, mountains and springs. And back when we were young, in the hippie days, they would quite often fashion sort of a thing for around their hair that was made out of sticks or leaves or something. And it was very, and sometimes they'd be barefoot when they, you know, got married and stuff. But anyway, The guys would always still wear tuxes. They were required to wear tuxes or suits. The brides were changing. The guys weren't. Then the second verse goes, come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me again. You fill up my senses like a night in the forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again.
Yes.
And that was a John Denver song for his wife, Annie. It doesn't say her name anywhere in there, but it was Annie's song. And beautiful as it was, they got divorced. So that he writes beautiful songs to his wife, and they get divorced anyway. Nobody has called, so I promised that we would go back through and revisit some of the really crappy things we talked about in past shows. But I want to sing one more song for Jeanette and Terry. All right? Yeah. Because I only got a few more minutes. This one is Paul Stuckey. And Paul was Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And he had a solo hit with a song called The Wedding Song, and it went like this. He is now to be among you for the calling of your hearts. For the rest assured, this troubadour is acting out his part. For the marriage of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. All is love. It's way better with music, but it's... For a man shall leave his mother, and a woman leave her own. They shall travel on to where the two shall be as one. For the union of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. All is love. And the bridge goes, well, then what's to be the reason for becoming man and wife? Is it love that brings you here, or love that brings you life? For the marriage of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. All is love. Look that up. It sounds way better on the with music and on the record. Paul Stuckey, Stookey, The Wedding Song. All right, you asked for it. I'm going to go back to the first page and just reopen some of these old wounds here. One show I opened the show asking whether anybody knew what cryogenics were, and that's when you freeze somebody after they die in hopes that at some point they can reanimate them and cure whatever they died of.
Zombie Disney.
Yeah, zombie Disney. Yeah, but I wasn't sure whether they actually had to be dead first, and then they froze them and they reanimated them.
Yeah.
When they thawed them out. Or whether they froze them while they were sick.
Hmm.
And then they were alive as soon as they were unfrozen.
Yeah, I think it's
that's the first one. They have to be dead first. Yeah.
It'd be cool if we actually had real answers to these questions.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just putting them out there because I promised I'd punish them. I told them I'd punish them for not calling in. All right, so here... We're going to talk about local bands and Madison bands. And let's see. we talked about. Were you a Stones fan or a Beatles fan when you started out? And because you couldn't be both when I was a kid. Do you think Ruby Tuesday's, the restaurant, is named after the Ruby Tuesday song, the Stones? Somebody's wanting to put an end to the nonsense here. Somebody's called in. Who is it?
We got Stevie Ray.
Ah, Stevie Ray. You know, Stevie Ray. Hello, Stevie.
Hello there.
Hey, you were great this weekend at the Robin Zander show.
Yeah, you were too. I saw the video.
Wait a minute, you weren't there. That's right, you weren't there.
No, huh. I wasn't there.
Isn't that
nursing,
something?
I was nursing a sore foot.
I would have thought you would have been there. I thought I saw you there. No, not so.
Well, seeing as how I was supposed to attend, seeing as how I had my amplifier was there in my stead.
Yeah, your amplifier was there, but you weren't, huh?
I wish.
Oh, my goodness. How are you today, man? What the heck's going on exactly?
Much, much better. It's cold and cool and drizzly here in Tomah, Wisconsin, or Tomah Coast. That's my studio.
Yeah.
Up here in the tundra there, you know.
In the tundra there.
I get such a kick out of people when they say, well, take a look at where, if you don't know where Tomah is, it's between La Crosse and Wisconsin Dells, right halfway in between there. And folks either think I'm talking about Watoma.
No.
In the center, more toward the center of the state, or Tomahawk.
Yeah, no, it's Tomah.
Tomah, wow, that's way up there. Yeah. No, that's Tomahawk.
Yeah, that's what, just let them believe what they want to believe, man.
Yeah, well, I just usually tell them it's not the Tomah.
Not the Tomah. Isn't that a Schwarzenegger? It's not the Tomah.
Yeah,
it's not the Tomah.
Yeah, it's a Tomah. Okay. Not the Tomah.
So, isn't Tomah, Wisconsin, the world's leading producer of cranberries?
Well, it's
Monroe County.
The Warrens is a much smaller town, and that's where the area begins. Is right around Tomah, and into going toward Babcock, toward the middle of the state. There's a lot of that. A lot of the countryside is used in cranberry farming.
Cranberry bogs.
That's right.
And these large...
And sand mines, too.
Sand mines?
Sand mines, fracking.
Oh, you do have a lot of that, huh?
Yep.
And they're not sand mines, man.
Well, whatever they are. I don't work
fracking,
on one. I don't use the
but
product.
But fracking is supposed to be releasing natural gas and petroleum from the rocks.
Yeah, and
it's supposed to be releasing it right into our drinking water, right? I mean, isn't that what the whole idea is? Let's ask Mike.
Is
the fracking kind of releasing pollutants into? It's supposed to be releasing like gas and oil into our drinking water,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or causing earthquakes. They say they cause earthquakes.
Fluoridation, doggone it. Remember the 60s?
Yeah.
Fluoridation caused it all.
They didn't want to be forced to have clean teeth. Nobody wanted to be forced to have healthy, fluoridated teeth. You know what I mean? And I guess it's something to do with if you drink that same water, it's not so good, huh?
Was the line in How I Learned Dr. Strangelove about the precious bodily fluids?
I don't know how precious. I don't have any precious body fluids. I have bodily fluids, but they're not precious.
That was a black and white classic. Slim Pickens was in it as the B-52 captain, and it was insane. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Yeah, I remember that
1964,
one.
1964, I want to say, came out.
That was Mel Brooks, wasn't it?
Could very well have been. I was thinking Woody Allen.
But anyway, do you have any precious body fluids? I don't.
No.
None of mine are. I kind of throw them away as soon as I can. You know, I get rid of them as soon as I can. I don't want any, except for that red one,
the red one.
You got to keep that. But you know, I've seen people replace their red bloods with yellow stuff too. That plasma it seems to work. So it doesn't even have to be red,
yellow, brown, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well,
so
they say that the Keith Richards bud is so fortified with heroin that is the great.
You what?
I had heard somebody say that to me. Obviously, Doc.
There's a Keith Richards brand of pot.
No.
What'd you say?
Blood was so fortified with from his heroin shooting days.
Oh.
That and he's still around. I mean,
yeah,
preserved forever.
Now, don't quote me as having said that. Those are not my words. Someone said that to me.
And you're not a doctor, are you, Stevie?
I don't even play one on TV.
No.
Nowhere near it.
Me neither.
No, nowhere near it. Maybe I'll be close to doctors on Monday. I got one more appointment before I leave for Texas.
Yeah. Hey, you know, let me tell you something. That you were in the hospital for a long time in 2017, and you weren't particularly happy there because you weren't feeling good. But for me, if I could live at the hospital, I would just live there. You know, you get to stay in bed, or some pretty girl helps you to walk down the hall, and they bring you food, and you go. You know, I would just, if I could live at the hospital, I would.
Well, some of the rooms are, you know, private. And,
yeah.
And I could see that.
Yeah. And they're pretty nicely appointed. I volunteer at the hospital over in Baraboo, and I don't know how long ago they remodeled, but those rooms are nice. If you could get one without a groaning, roommate.
If you can get one without a disease.
Yeah.
Or having to be sick.
Yeah.
There you go.
Here's a question for you that comes up in my mind quite regularly. I'm a volunteer at the hospital in Baraboo, and we have a doctor that's an infectious disease doctor, and I take the patients, like, from their car to see the infectious disease doctor. And I can't help thinking, I'm really hoping that the doctor would not allow an infectious patient to be hauled in by a volunteer and brought up. You know what I mean?
Without
what do you think?
Without a
biohazard suit. Yeah. They don't even say anything about it. So, I mean, I'm assuming that the ones that I get to carry around or push around in the wheelchair are not all that infectious. What do you think?
Okay, well, picture it. Now, you're pulling up to the to the hospital,
Stevie,
you're
going
to be getting in a wheelchair, and this guy in a hazmat is going to be pushing you to see the doctor. Now, how confident are you going to be of that guy?
You're right. And getting in and out of that hazmat suit between patients would be really tough, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a drag. So anyway, you helped me out big time on New Year's Eve. Have we had a show since New Year's Eve? What's the date today?
It's only been 10 days into it. And by the way, I think I have a new New Year's resolution that you'd be able to pick up and easily do. I think after yesterday, I had such an enjoyable time. We had lunch for the listeners here. Brian and I had lunch at IHOP in Dells. I think it's have lunch with a friend more.
Oh, yeah?
A great resolution. I just had a great time.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
You know, and I paid, which is a lot of your enjoyment right there, right?
I thank you for that.
I know. You did.
Okay,
you did.
Now we have witnesses, I think.
You thanked me over and over again. That's not a bad resolution. Did you already discontinue all your other ones?
The only one I wanted to keep was, as we spoke of yesterday, the one that was easy to keep, one where I would just try to get healthier.
Yeah, that's a good one too, man.
That's a no-brainer after last year. That would be so easy to do.
Yeah. Hey, Stevie.
I was going to say like falling off a log, but then falling off a log would hurt, so forget it.
You might even crack your head. Hey,
yeah,
Stevie Ray, thank you for calling in, and thank you to Karen for calling in, and we survived another hour. I'm sorry about all that political nonsense and the marijuana stuff earlier in the show, but I did sing you a couple of wedding songs. So I'll try to do better next week, I swear. So it's Brian Beebe once again by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness, and we'll see you next week.